Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we are at Georgia Tech. It's a glorious day. Going to do what we always do, and hopefully along the way you will be encouraged to do the same thing, and that is find yourself a fishing hole, find yourself a ministry, and I would even dare to say maybe it doesn't even need to be this overt, if you will. Walking out and talking to strangers. Okay, I understand you're not ready for that, but figure out what you are ready for. By the way, I'm not ready for it either, just so you know. If you think that walking out here and doing this is like, well, Friel just seems to be able to do it, no problem. It is a problem. It's hard. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to run into or who you're going to run into. And you can get shut down. And isn't it amazing? How many times have I been shut down? Plenty. And yet, it's still, there's something about it that just makes you kind of, which is why I think Paul, on at least two occasions that I can think of in his epistles, which means I can't remember which book it is, asked for courage so that he would speak as he ought. It was scary for him sometimes to do it. I mean, way more scary for him than for us. We typically don't get beat up, shipwrecked, stoned to death like he did. So he had a whole lot more to lose than we do, frankly, because at least so far in this country, we can get away with this. But he needed courage to do that. Timothy needed courage to do that. I think 2 Timothy, that pretty much was the major theme there, writing to that young man because he was lacking some courage. He was young and he was scared of what was going to happen to him if he preached the gospel. And so Paul had to write to that young man to encourage him. So here's what you got. You've got Timothy, who was scared, who needed encouraging. And Paul, who, it would appear, was scared, and he too needed prayers for encouragement. So you've got one scared guy encouraging another scared guy. That's why we've got to do that for each other. We've got to encourage each other. And I would also suggest sometimes going out in twos is a very good thing. Because when you're, sometimes a little shove is all you need. And the other person can provide that for you. So find your fishing hole. Doesn't need to be Georgia Tech, but maybe it's your Starbucks, or it is your local IHOP, or whatever. In fact, maybe you just want to start with one person. So right now, think about your town. What's the scenario? What's the setup? Where could you go so that you could witness to just one? And maybe it even gets spread out over a month. Start there. And that is a great start. You don't need to start doing my thing. You need to start doing your thing. Wow. There must be a lot of visitors coming to the campus or on the campus. I think I've witnessed that kid too. How's about that? Because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of chalk art going on. That's, maybe it's because the rain is finally... Did you like the chalkings? Check out our other events on campus and off camps. And then they give the website. Well, what is going... And then there's a big bumblebee. They've got chalk art all over, and there must be something going on for some reason. Alrighty, so here we are at Georgia Tech. Hopefully, you'll find your place to go, and you'll get doing something. Okay, let's see if we can... Alright, here's I'm sorry, what I liked... what? You know what? If you'll tell me that on the radio, what do you want me to donate to? African refugees?
Well, African refugees, meaning we are, one of our teammates, clubmates, actually opened up a, who went to Kenya to volunteer, and he was working with them, providing them, gave them some aid and stuff like that,
okay.
And realized that aid's not enough, so he started to, he opened up a sustainability project where he's trying to open up a mill in that refugee camp in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
And basically we are collecting donations to, you know, help provide to build that mill and help them be sustainable.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So instead of just giving a handout, you give a hand up, right?
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, a little cliche, but it kind of works, huh?
Okay.
right?
Yeah.
Because if you just give somebody money, it doesn't help them get to work and stuff.
Well,
he just asked me, and you got one in Brazil going on too. Okay, I'll think about giving if you can answer a question
sure.
for me. Ready? Why should I care
right.
about those people in Kenya?
I can answer that.
Oh, you're going to answer it?
Yeah, I started the project.
So. Oh, you started it? Oh,
yeah,
good for you.
Yeah,
okay,
okay,
tell me, why should I care?
Okay, well, the people in the U.S., we have opportunity that we can, you know, if there's a certain desire that we have to pursue a dream, an educational dream, let's say coming to school, college or high school, in Kenya, okay, they are in impoverished conditions where they cannot just actively pursue any of our dreams, let's say. And so they are running for their life after the 2007, 2008 election violence that occurred that formed these camps that we are raising money for. And so, you know, they were worried about, you know, losing their life because they're in the opposite tribe. So they can't pursue, you know, the things that
okay,
we have.
Okay, all good stuff. I want you to back up for me, though. This
okay.
is kind of a philosophical question.
Okay.
All that's good. We see other human beings suffering. They don't have any opportunities. We'd like to see them have those chances so that they can have a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And we care. But why? Why should I care about those people?
I think we have a responsibility as members of this world that just as we have a responsibility as, you know, our family or friends or anything like that, when we see them struggling, you know, in horrible conditions.
How come? Why do I have a responsibility to a complete stranger 5,000 miles away from me?
Well, I think as people of this universe, I think we should help each other. And when someone else is down and, you know, in a worse off position than you, that you've been given such great opportunity, I think it's great to give back to others who may not have had that opportunity.
Okay, I'm an evolutionist. Okay, here's how I see it.
Okay.
Bummer for them. They're gonna struggle, but this is about survival of the fittest anyway. So I'm fit. I don't care about them. What would you say to that?
I would say that, you know, you're on your own there. I mean, if...
Meaning?
If you don't care about other people who you just care about yourself, well, there's nothing I can tell you to, you know, want to do anything up for them. Because
is there something wrong with my logic? As an evolutionist, somebody who believes in natural selection, survival of the fittest, isn't it consistent of me to say, I don't care about anybody but me?
Hold on.
Ponder that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, young man.
Oh, the basis of natural selection is a...
Wow, do your teeth annoy me. They are so white and perfect. How do you make
really?
That happen?
No,
Honestly, that's annoying.
So.
They're like a spotlight. Honestly.
No, I mean...
Well done. Okay, go ahead, dude. So what's the...
Well, I mean, since you're talking about natural selection is selection that occurs due to maybe genetics, you know, and it happens on a level that is uncontrollable, you're right. But the fact is, when it comes to natural selection in terms of human population dynamics, we're not doing any form of selection when we just allow them to exist like that. If selection is already ongoing, and regardless of in what condition they are, you know, the differences between us is already evident. And the fact is, just because we believe in natural selection doesn't mean we can use that as an excuse to not.
Why not?
Well,
okay, for instance,
right.
You said it's the selection has been made.
Right.
Okay, the selection's been made.
Well, selection's already occurring, not
okay,
been made.
Okay, so, all right, so...
And it's in terms of genetics,
chance.
Not about, you know, not
well,
in
it's
terms
also position.
Of,
there they are.
Okay, sure, yeah.
They've got less. Why do I care? Why should I monkey around with natural selection?
Well, you're not monkeying around with natural selection. I mean, what I'm trying to point out is that by helping them out, you're not changing anything about natural selection. You're
sure
just,
I am.
You know, you're just allowing them to exist in a world that will allow them, you know, to survive.
I'm actually helping them compete against me. I want to make sure I can
but
survive.
But you said it yourself, sir, that they are 5,000 miles away. They have no chance of competing against you.
Sure,
and
they do. It's
even
a
if they come, even
economy.
If you help them out. Yeah, so exactly. That's the reason why we help them, because it's that global economy that we want to not, you know, not make them not just compete with us, but help them sustain. Because at this point, they're not at a level that they will be ready to compete with us. They don't have food. They don't have clothes. They don't have areas to live in. And what we're trying to do is not make them, you know, not...
So you want me to be compassionate?
Well, yeah. Basically, that's our project. And that is one of the essential points that we...
So what
that
I,
one
I
of
think what I've
things.
Heard you say is
sure.
I should be compassionate because if I help somebody 5,000 miles away...
Uh-huh.
it might affect the global economy and affect me in a positive way.
Well, what I meant to say was that...
That's very true.
It could happen.
So I'm sort of playing kind of an international gamble. Give a little something to them, and maybe it'll come back to me, and somebody will be nice to me someday.
Could happen. I mean, you could have cheaper products that promoting agriculture or different industries in these African countries.
So for selfish reasons, I should help.
You could for that.
All right. Okay.
I mean, indirectly, you know, promoting business and, you know, what we're doing is, you know, helping other people. The Vermilion Mill Project is helping people get back to...
All right, because we got to scoot. Tell everybody, do you have a website? Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
Geosites.com/...
Don't worry about it. It's GTSMRC.com.
GTSMRC.com.
Right.
All right, people can look it up if they want to. Gentlemen, I appreciate the chat. Thank you very much. All right. All righty. There you go. I should be compassionate because I'm selfish. Uh-huh. That's moralism right there. And without Christianity, without responding to God's kindness to us, I have no reason but selfishness to get involved in any program like that. Whether it's PBS, whether it's a cancer drive, whether it's feeding the hungry, it's mere moralism. It's Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin, because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness, He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. We are here at Georgia Tech. It's like, oh, good, this dude is walking this way. Oh, I was watching you before. Young man, can I talk to you while you're walking that way?
You know what I'm talking? You can talk while I'm walking, yeah.
All right, dude, the haircut. What's up with the mohawk?
Well, not the mohawk.
Why?
It's freaking awesome.
You think it's awesome?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You kind of got curly hair.
I do got curly hair. That's why it's more awesome, because I don't have to put gel in it or anything. I can feather it, and it's good to go.
So this is the do that you're styling with?
I'm styling it for now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm keeping it through my fraternity's chartering date.
Aha. So it's a what's the fraternity?
Sigma Pi.
And what type of fraternity is it?
It's a social fraternity.
It's a what?
Social.
What does that mean?
It's not like a honorary professional. It's just guys who have common interests, hang out together.
Is it a party fraternity?
Not so much. We do have parties. It's not like that emphasis so much, but...
It's not like Animal House.
It's not like Animal House at all.
You know Animal House?
I don't know. Who doesn't know Animal House?
Well, I don't know what they're teaching the kids these days. Good for you. You understand history.
I'm a film buff. I like
movies.
Okay,
that's different. Okay, yeah. So what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Material science and engineering.
Material science meaning?
Materials and how to, like, react when put in certain situations.
Keep going. Help me out with that.
I'm only a freshman.
That's all right. Well, you've got to have a... What do you want to do with material science?
Hopefully something with NASA, like helping develop materials or going to, like, building the new space shuttles and all that.
Is that right? Who's Werner Von Braun?
Beats me.
Dude. He's, like, one of the famous guys who really helped us get into outer space.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you want to go there? What do you want to do there?
Experiments. Mess around. I mean, zero gravity has got to be awesome. Beats regular gravity.
So you want to go out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, dude, so here's what I'm noticing with NASA. You tell me if you think I'm right. The NASA program these days seems determined to try to get out there to figure out how we evolved.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
I had noticed that, and it's kind of weird. I mean, I can't just accept that we're here. I'm not a person of evolution or creationism. I just feel like it's really a combination of the two. But NASA, being scientists, probably more hell-bent on figuring out that it is evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Than creationism.
So you're kind of a creationist.
I am, but as a loose creationism.
Who do you think the creator is?
God.
Who do you think God is?
I don't know. He's like an entity, almost. I do believe there's a physical God out there. I mean, somewhere in the universe.
Uh-huh.
So I believe there is actually a physical God who can gather materials, like ions and all that, and send them to places, and with that, they can form life forms.
Uh-huh. So does this God of yours have a name? Are you a religious guy?
Not particularly, but I just call him God.
Just God?
Yeah.
So where could I learn about this God? Is there a book? Are you a Christian? Bible, Quran, any of that stuff?
Combination. I also like to read religious doctrines.
But you're not a Christian?
No.
How come?
I don't know, just my mom's Jewish, my dad's Christian. They never really forced religion upon me.
Uh-huh.
I just read the doctrines because I find the old stories interesting.
Okay. So what is the story of Christianity? What does that teach, based on what you've researched?
It's just be a good person, do good unto others, and good stuff will happen to you.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like karma, almost, if you will.
It is not.
Yeah, I think so. I do believe if you
I've
do
read
good
the
stuff,
Bible. It doesn't say that.
It's good. It's like an interpretation, almost. Like, you do good stuff to other people, and they're going to want to return the favor, and then you're going to have good things coming your way, which is karma.
Mm-mm. That's not what it teaches. Young man, I beg to differ. Okay.
I haven't read it that closely, apparently.
All right, let me tell you what I think it's about, okay? Right. This is worse than a hazing, potentially.
Okay.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
I admit that sometimes I don't make the right decisions.
All right. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Yes.
How many do you think?
Too many to count.
All right. A lot of them.
I'm a compulsive liar.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me now?
Nope.
About being a compulsive liar?
I'm
How would somebody
lying.
Know? You know, think about that for a second.
Oh, believe me, it's interesting. Because when I tell people that, they're like, are you lying about that right now? I'm like, no.
I'm not the first. How many things have you stolen in your life?
None.
Don't lie to me.
I've never stolen a thing in my life.
All right, let's try this one. Lusting. How's about that?
Not really.
Dude.
I mean, we're at Georgia Tech. Where's my chance to lust around here?
I don't know. Have you is the question.
No. I'm serious.
You're a guy, right?
Yes.
And you're
a very
telling
studious
me
person
you
in high
have
school.
Never had an impure thought. Now I know you're lying to me.
An impure thought that I've had.
Yeah, huh? Okay, and I want to ask about anything else further, right. Like maybe pornography, looking at okay. 30 pictures, any of that stuff.
All right.
Okay, so what are we at, 2 strikes right now?
Yeah.
For, toward being a not good person?
Yeah.
Okay, how's about honoring your parents? Did you always do everything you were told as a kid?
Yes.
Dude, cut it out.
I am. I'm serious. They would
they
beat
were,
me.
They were, what?
They threatened to beat me before. And
why would they threaten
nothing.
To beat you? Because you were naughty.
I wasn't naughty. I just...
didn't do what you were told.
I was bending the rules a little bit.
Okay. So, you were like every other kid.
Yeah.
And you were didn't do everything you were told, Johnny, on the spot, right?
Of course not.
All right. So, here's the question. Christianity. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Let's say you die.
All right.
God judges you. Every thought, every word, every deed. Mm-hmm. Innocent or guilty?
Overall, innocent, but I do make some guilty. There's some guilt in there.
Okay, but it's not an overall kind of
it's
thing.
It's not overall guilt.
But if you break a law, then you are guilty, period.
If you break a law, like, numerous times, you break a law once.
You're guilty.
Per se. You're guilty of that law, but I don't think overall, in the grand scheme of things,
well, sure
you're
guilty. You are. Like, for instance, if a guy rapes somebody, he's a rapist. He's a criminal.
Yes.
If you tell a lie, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Steal something, you're a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Lust, you're an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd be guilty.
All right.
Okay, heaven or hell? What would God do with you?
With me?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good thing to think about. I'd probably say heaven right now because I'm not that awful of a person. I mean, it's little things, but they add up. So it might be hell. I don't know.
But if the judge disagreed and he thought they were big things, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So the Bible says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
For lying, because it's a big deal to God.
Yep.
All right. So, dude, it doesn't sound good for you.
No, it doesn't.
All right. We were talking about what Christianity is, right? You kind of said it's kind of a karma, do good, and it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I don't think that's what it is. All right, before you go into your building here, real quick. You've heard this somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
God should give you hell. What has he done so that you can have your sins forgiven? Because this is what Christianity is about.
Jesus dying for the sins.
It's about grace. That's what Christianity is about. It's not doing good. We've done bad. We should get punished by God.
Right.
But he died to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'll repent, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What?
It means feel bad about it. Be sorry.
That's part of it, yeah. And turn from your sins.
Yes.
Okay? You don't become perfect, but you turn from your sins with a new attitude. And you put your trust in Jesus and in him alone.
All right.
The Bible says you do that because he was punished on a cross on your behalf.
Right.
It's like your badness. You're the criminal. It got put on the innocent man. He got punished on your behalf, and all of his goodness can be credited to your account.
Okay.
So that you can be seen as perfect by God because of what Jesus did for you.
Okay.
That's what Christianity is about.
All right.
Not karma. That's kind of like Buddhism and Hinduism
stuff.
And there's some rules that, you know, typically if you behave, life goes better. But that's not karma because God's in control of everything.
Right.
Okay, so my question for you is, have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
Not in a little while, no.
Ever?
I have before. I haven't done it in a while. I haven't gone to church or anything like that in a good bit. But I used to.
Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God.
Okay.
It's a radical thing when you realize, yikes, I am not a good guy at all.
Wow.
If the books were open on my life, it would be a bad day for me in court with God. And you humble yourself, apologize, and you turn from your sins, and you put your trust in Jesus. It's a radical thing because you have to die to yourself. And then he makes you born again. So it's really, it's like, I'm guessing, how old are you?
18.
Have you ever been in a near really bad car accident?
Not that I can remember. I was like 2 years old when it happened.
Yeah. But if you ever have been, you remember it. Because it's like, whoa, that was like a big deal. Same thing is true with getting saved by God. It's kind of a big deal when you die to yourself and he makes you alive. And he changes your attitude and your heart and your desire.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start liking the things that you never used to like before, like other Christians, reading the Bible, and the sins that you used to love, suddenly, I don't want those anymore because he died to save me. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. So I don't know if you're like right with God or not, but something to ponder because 18, you're a young man and you're thinking these things through, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like, what am I believing? Because you don't believe what your parents believe.
Right.
It doesn't make you that. You have to think it through yourself. So what you just heard is the gospel. I can't club you and make you one, and I'm not going to chase you into your dorm here. Just think about it, okay?
Okay, I will.
Because, dude, I don't want you to go to hell.
Neither do I. That would suck.
Yeah, in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want that either. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So the offer is open to you, repentance and faith. You got a Bible?
No.
You got one online, though?
My roommate has a Bible, though.
Rock on. Grab that bad boy. Open it up and read the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Can you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, dude. I'm glad you had a mohawk so we could chat. All right, man. So how are you going to get into your little fraternity deal? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, it's already happened.
But you live in a dorm. This isn't a frat.
I'm a freshman. I'm not allowed to live in the house yet. We don't have one anyway, so.
They don't let you live in the house yet until you're what year?
We don't have a house. We're chartering. We're becoming an official fraternity.
Ah, you're doing it yourselves. All right, man.
All right, Father.
Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thanks, man.
See you. Goodbye. I'm looking at this kid, and who knows, maybe the sun was in his eyes even though we're standing in the shade, but they seem to be a little on the watery side. So that's witnessing. Sometimes you're going to get some crabby guys. Sometimes you're going to get some open guys. We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday, and until tomorrow, go serve your king.